JG 1. Number 25A.
Yes, so we now want to see that law of interdependence in the Christ, and we want to take it very simply. We don't want to get overcomplicated about these things. We know that this subject can turn into higher and higher complexity, just like our life can. So I think the genius of it all is to keep it very simple. So because it's not about an intellectual bead game, I mean, we can always show 1,000 different ways in which mind manifests itself in the world, and 1,000 different ways in which spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love manifest themselves in the Bible, in the textbook, in our way of life, and all of this. We have to be really careful in our work that it doesn't become an intellectual exercise. That book on the glass bead game was by Hermann Hesse, I think. It is a story in there about how a group of intellectuals had this idea, and they started working with it and working with it together until it became a game, like a glass bead game, in which nobody understood what they were talking about except themselves. And I believe one fellow defected from the group to try to bring the information down to the world. But the thing is, one can take such a subject, and if we get all caught up in the symbols, in the wordiness of it, it becomes just an intellectual exercise on the exact letter, and another way of seeing it, and another way of seeing it, and another way of seeing it, and another way of seeing it. And it becomes more or less the John the Baptist state of consciousness, and we know what happened to John the Baptist, don't we? It was all in the head. So finally the head was off. We don't want the head to go, do we? So if the heart goes along with it, then there's the possibility that the head stays with the body. So it's an interesting example, but it is such that that is a good example of the Baptist, that he could talk well, he could preach well, he could give good sermons and all this, and the people flocked around. But it was just the letter. It was just the word. It was only when Jesus came to be baptized by John, John acknowledged that Jesus had the higher concept, because it wasn't probably that Jesus knew more than John. It's just that Jesus imbibed the Spirit. He was the Christ consciousness in operation. That then becomes more powerful than just the word, because it then sets it into operation. So we're always asking those two questions. What is reality? What is reality is very interesting. The exact letter gets very interesting. But as I say, there's a time that it can get over-specialized, overdone. Pull it back. When you say to yourself, I'm losing the spirit of it. It's getting too complicated. It's overwhelming. I can't keep up. I'm not following. Well, then just take what we know and go back and love what we know. We aren't always chasing what we don't know. For example, in a class, if it begins to develop and get a little complex, which it has to because the class is driving itself towards some kind of an end, then fine, listen on and on to the complexity. But when you go home, just take what you have heard that you know and that seems secure, and then just love that and start building on that and loving it and pondering it, and then it will grow and grow and catch up with the complexity. But the main thing is ourselves, we're asking, what is reality? How do I become one with reality? It's better to keep it together. What is reality? You build up the exact letter for a while. You begin to see the minute it starts getting a little bit too far out, start the spirit. Start identifying with it. It's interesting how in this chaos theory that when it gets to that sense of the bifurcation point, that there gets to be a sense that bifurcation point, it can start dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing until it goes off into chaos. See, they're seeing today that everything is okay as long as everything is focused on the initial condition. That's when you read these books, you'll see that everything is sensitive to the initial condition. If you stay there and stay focused on it, it won't necessarily go into chaos. It will just stay as it should. But the minute you turn just slightly to the right or slightly to the left, then this exponential growth rate of bifurcation comes in and it goes into chaos. So one's really impressed how they're always saying that something has to be sensitive to the initial condition. So we see that if we're sensitive to that initial condition and we stay focused on it and we stay with it and we don't let it out of focus and we stay in step with it, if our spirit stays in step with the letter, it won't go off into chaos. And when it goes off into chaos, it's very fast. It starts at an exponential growth rate, just doubling, going off. So I was impressed by, I thought, gosh, that's the point. It's just stay there. And so in the subject, we gain the letter, imbibe the spirit. Gain the letter at mind, bring the pondering, the oneness, and all this into it when you're home. So keep the spirit marching along with the letter. Otherwise, it'll get lost. You see? It'll get cold. It'll get complicated. It will go dry. We'll lose the joy. We'll lose the happiness about the subject and all these things. So the same thing then is with this. What we do here, I want to keep that we are building up a lot about the Christ. I'd like to keep it simple. So we want to take a look at the law of interdependence of the Christ, not make it complicated, just let it flow naturally so we're happy with it. Try to keep the letter and the spirit going at the same time. So that the main point of all of this, that it's life experience. That's what we're after. We're not after knowing a lot. We can go out and read the newspaper and know a lot. We can go out and listen to television and know a lot. It's not about gathering a lot of information. What we gather, all that information of God, would be the same as gathering a lot of information about all the new type of cars coming out or all the different forms of governments going on and restructuring everything. It's the same kind of information. It won't cut any ice. It's just gathering. So it's about life experience. That's what we're after. How the oneness with reality. So let's see if we can now see how this law of truth, life, and love is impelling principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind without making it complicated. So we feel warm about it. So we feel happy about it. So we feel joyous about it. So this, we know this is where we are as a point of intersection with the Christ, where that one truth as truth, life, and love now is impelling principle. Truth, life, and love is impelling life. Truth, life, and love is impelling love. Truth, life, and love is impelling soul. Truth, life, and love is impelling spirit. Truth, life, and love is impelling mind. So that's where we are. Just as we saw life, truth, and love is impelling the word order, now truth, life, and love impels the Christ order. It's the power source behind making this Christ order happen. So let's take a look then at that power source behind making the Christ order happen. Let's turn then to page 93 in the study aid. So here on page 93 in the study aid, we have that nice law of interdependence in the Christ. And we'll do an exercise with it, which we'll just keep it nice and simple, where we see then always that truth, you could put down in your notes and just say truth always means the whole. That's always what it means. This is the law of truth, life, and love on Absolute Christian Science. That which is running vertically, horizontally across the top is truth, life, and love. That we saw as a cord, and the accentuation's on truth. So truth is the whole truth. So you could write down under truth the whole. Life, that whole truth is individualized, so you can say that whole is ours. And love means it's adapted to our need. So we can just say under here, the whole truth is ours at the point of life, and at the point of love is adapted to our need. Now that's all we need. We're going to carry that through the whole exercise. So when we come, when we're working with principle, we know now that principle is that potential power that comes to the human standpoint of divine authority. If we resist it, it's going to be an imperative apodictical power. Now that principle is a potential power. What about that potential power in relationship to us? In our needs. Well, we say then that that whole potential power, that whole stationary power, that whole reservoir, however you want to say it, it doesn't always have to be potential power, stationary power. It's meaning that whole reservoir of power. Principle is just that which has all the power within it. So you could call it a reservoir power, a potential power, a latent power. So we say that at the point of principle alone, at that potential power, we say that whole potential power, that whole stationary power is our individual potentiality. Our, that potential power isn't just there and it's not going to help us. That whole potential power is in reality our individual potentiality. And it is going to adapt itself to our need. It's going to be the ministering power to our need. So that potential power becomes warmer to us. We see that it is going to be our potential power, and it's going to be that power that ministers to our need. Isn't that nice? So suddenly we feel we got some kind of reservoir of power we can draw from. Isn't that nice? So we know that there's a little battery there that we're hooked into that's sending power to us constantly. And from a battery, we could see it, could have seen it as a sun giving us power. But it's so much better to see an impersonal principle and those laws just there as our source of energy, our source of power. And we're hooked into it, and it's going to minister to us. Then, at the point of life, that potential power becomes a dynamic power. That's that dynamic power, which is a generating power. If we accept it, it just turns over in our life and we feel something's going on in our life. But if we resist it, it becomes an irrepressible power. So now to keep that dynamic power friendly, we didn't like it so much when it became irrepressible and we started feeling a little irritated about it because we knew it was going to crush us to powder finally. We think, I'm going to keep this friendly, this power. So in my prayers I say that potential power now becomes the dynamic power. And that whole full life power, I'm going to tap into that. That is our power flooding our every situation. And that life power is adapted to our need. It's going to come and it's going to fulfill and consummate a purposeful life for us. It's going to work for us. I'm not going to turn against it. I'm not going to let it become suddenly kind of a irrepressible, irresistible power that may want to enforce itself on me if I resist. I'm keeping it as now my whole dynamic power. I see as my power. It's flooding my every situation, and it's helping me. It's actually going to fulfill my life's purpose. I'm going to let it in, we say. So we feel good that we're part of this eternal power source. And then we see it, truth consciousness. We say, oh, gee, that's good. Is there more we know about this power that we're hooking into? And then we say, yes, sure, there's also that power of truth consciousness. That's all part of this potential power. And I'm sure going to be friendly to this, because this is the one that did come and was conscious of every situation and started penetrating and dominating and crushing everything in me that wasn't like God. So in order to keep happy with this power, I'm going to say that whole power of the Christ consciousness is my individual power of Christ consciousness. And it's going to adapt itself to my need. That whole power of the Christ consciousness, which is my individual Christ consciousness, is going to be my Christ manhood. The power of my Christ manhood. There is a power of Christ consciousness that is behind my claiming as my individual Christ consciousness that is going to bring out the Christ manhood in me. There's a power source behind there. There's a power behind my Christ consciousness that is going to bring out my Christ manhood adapted to my need. So it isn't that I make an effort to be the individual Christ in the world. I'd say, gee, I'd sure like to be able to be a universal blessing. I'd sure like to take on the Christ consciousness. God is going to make us take on the individual Christ consciousness. God is going to make us be that Christ manhood, because that whole power of the Christ consciousness in reality is the power of our individual Christ consciousness, which is bringing out our Christ manhood. And then we see at the point of love, the power of total engagement, that power of total engagement, which is the power of salvation if we let it in our lives, but it becomes the enforcing power if we don't. We say, oh, well, that whole power of love, which wants to totally engage itself everywhere in the whole universe, including man, including everything in my life, that whole universal solvent is my universal solvent. It's my savior. And it's going to make me a universal blessing if I let it happen in my life. It'll make me a universal blessing. I don't. I just have to accept that power of love into my life. If I do, then it is going to make me a savior to my situation, to the family situation, to the nation, to the whole globe, to the universe, to everything. I'll be a blessing if I acknowledge the individual Christ consciousness and the universal Savior within me. And God's going to make me do it. How? Through the objectification at the point of soul, where it begins to objectify itself and say, well, okay, it's objectifying itself. Soul wants to translate now all that I've seen about that power source that I'm plugged into. Now that's going to begin to work in my life, because I'm a divine hologram anyhow. And so that power source as a hologram, graphic image now is translating into my experience. It's doing it. It's bringing out that experience in my life. So that whole power of fundamental translatability, that power of soul, I let in. Because when I do, it becomes my power of translatability, where it translates itself to every detail of my life. I let soul in. I let that translating ability transform every aspect of my life. If I don't, I saw it, I see. If I resist it, I'm going to suffer. I've learned from experience I don't like to suffer, we say, so I'm going to let that translatability happen in my life in every single detail. And therefore, if I let it happen, it's going to adapt itself to my need by retranslating out the air. So I'm happy because I'm letting all this work for me. I'm letting soul translation power come to me, work in every detail of my life, translating out there. So I've bypassed suffering. I've let it adapt itself to the need. Then at the point of spirit, instead of trying to go to Niagara Falls and get at the bottom of the fall and try, with all that thundering water, try to work my way up against the water, try to think, well, maybe if I take some kind of a ladder, I can go against that Niagara Falls and just kind of push with my head up, and maybe I'll get to the top, but it keeps shoving me down into more and more crises. So we say, well, I don't like to experience these crises, so I'm going to accept in my life that whole hierarchical ordering power that's happening anyhow, that is taking that whole ideal idea of the word, what the goal is in my life, and it's restructuring it according to the hierarchical power of spirit. And so that whole hierarchical ordering, I'm going to let happen to diversify itself in every aspect of my life. Let every individual place value in my life be filled with what has to come to me, what the law of the word has to bring to me. And when I let that happen, it expels chaos. It becomes a blessing to me. It adapts itself to my need, and chaos goes out of my life. I let that diversification, classification, individualization power happen in every aspect of my life. And when I do that, it expels chaos. And then I see, because I've done that, then I've allowed that whole potential power of principle to bring to me through this wonderful power source that I've willingly hooked into and I've let happen. I've now, because I've not tried to go up against the falls, but I'm going with the falls like in a barrel. I just tumble right over the falls. I let it happen. It doesn't bother me at the end of the falls. I just kind of go on down in the little barrel having a good time, because I'm going with the flow, and therefore that power of manifestation now becomes that whole manifesting power in my life. That whole power of manifestation has now manifested all the information that the word wanted to bring to me, all the information that the word wanted to make successful. That whole law of the divine success mechanism of the word, that whole information, that whole code, now comes to me, and that whole code now brings to me the individual vision and the specific ideas that I need now for my specific situation to fulfill that information code of the word. And now I've found the solution to my life. I found the solution to the business. I found the solution to help the universe, including man. Therefore, that whole reason why the Christ is operating anyhow to bring what that word is, the law of the divine success mechanism, into the universe, including man, to me, now has adapted itself to it. Every situation, it's found its solution, and I have that individual vision. I comprehend it, I'm enlightened, and it's manifested. If I went against it, this power at any way, I know I would have had at some point of the way to have gone through a phase transition and to let that Christ, through its enforcing power, take those false resistance out of me. And after going through the phase transition, I would have just had to finally come back and let all that information of the word happen in my life and find its solution. Eventually it does, so I might as well pray about this law, be happy about this law, be joyous that there is in being a power source that we can hang on to. So in practice, if suddenly we're in a situation that nobody's around, feel totally unhelped. Gee, you think of that fellow, I don't know whether he was in the Midwest or so, he was on the farm, remember him? That he was in a situation where I think he was working the farm and the tractor or something severed his arms, and he was all alone, and it was just incredible how that young man had the ability to leave where he was on the field and go all the way into his home. I think he opened the door with his mouth or something, and took a pencil in the mouth and dialed for help, and then went into the tub so he wouldn't get his blood on the family rug. They went out finally and found the arms and stitched it back together, and from all we know in spirituality is okay. So it is okay. But I mean, what was that power source that let him do that? That wasn't an individual power. When those things happen, there's something behind one's life that you're hooked into, and it's working for you. So it was working for him. He had a power beyond himself that was doing that for him. It certainly wasn't his own. He just let go and went with the flow. He didn't resist anything. He wasn't fearful. He wasn't any at all at anything. He went with the flow, and that flow was the Christ. Whether you name it or not, you could say it was an individual power. That's not individual potential doing those things. That is the Christ meeting a need, coming right down to the intelligence of mind, guiding it and telling it what to do at every point of that experience, and a solution was found and everything turns out okay. Now we've got to remember that that's an extreme case, but it worked. And in our life too, if we ever find ourselves in a situation where it's the claim is it's impossible, it's not going to work, we don't suddenly turn to ourselves, because in ourselves we see it is impossible. There's nothing within us that can make it happen. At that point, just forget everything else and go right to the Christ and just feel this whole law of interdependence working for us. That there is this power source in being that is bringing that whole Word of God, what we are, right down to our situation. It knows us. If we let it happen into our life, it's going to manifest itself as the individual vision. It'll bring us the vision. It will tell us what to do. Just act on what it has to do. Don't look to the right or the left. Don't let fear or doubt. Stick to the initial condition. If we don't stick to the initial condition, fear, panic, all that can come in. And then we go into chaos, and then we really are no help to anybody, especially ourselves, if we find ourselves alone. That chaos comes in, and then of what value is it? So the point is to stick to the vision, neither look to the right or the left. We're not going to let that bifurcation come in and go take us into a frantic chaos. We're going to stick there, because if we do, as we see now, that individual vision always comes and adapts itself to its need, and it will tell us what to do through the mind of Christ.